Well, good evening, everyone. If you've got your Bibles, let's turn to Matthew chapter 3. And I'm going to read the story of Jesus' baptism. And we're told that he was baptized by a man called John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was preaching out in the desert, and Jesus went to him to be baptized. And we read these words in verse 13 of chapter 3 of Matthew. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this thing to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. I've got one baptismal joke. You probably heard it before if you heard me talk about baptism, but it was about a Texas millionaire who had a swimming pool, large swimming pool, in his back garden, and he kept a shark in the swimming pool. And every time he threw a party, he used to put out this challenge to his guests. He says, anybody race against the shark, I will give them one of three things. They can have half of my estate. They can have my daughter's hand in marriage. Or they can have one of my exclusive villas. And every party came and went, and nobody ever took the challenge. And then suddenly, one day there was a splash and there was a mad dash across the pool. This person was frantically swimming as the shark was chasing after them, and they swam harder and harder. People were shouting and screaming and shouting, and it looked like the shark was about to eat this person. And they just made it to the edge and jumped out at the last moment. And everybody starts screaming and jumping up and down and things. And the guy walks up to him and says, That is amazing. Nobody has ever taken that challenge. What do you want? Do you want half my estate? Do you want my daughter's hand in marriage, or do you want the super villa? And the guy looked at him and said, I don't want any of it. And he said, What do you mean? I just want the name of the guy who pushed me. Now, this raises the question, why would anyone want to get baptized? It's a kind of strange thing, you know, to come into a building and get put under the water and pulled back up, hopefully, again. And you know, why would you do that? And why would people of all ages do this as well? I think the oldest person we baptized here was in their 70s, late 70s. And that just seems remarkable. And it's kind of prefigured by the story that we read about Jesus being baptized. Because we're told that Jesus was baptized. And the first reason we see why people should get baptized is because Jesus set the pattern. You see, if you call yourself a Christian, then you seek to be a follower of Jesus. And Jesus was baptized to set down a pattern. That's why it starts here at the story, at the right at the beginning of Matthew's gospel. Jesus is showing us the pattern. If you are a follower of Jesus, you follow the pattern of Jesus. And Jesus was baptized. And so the first reason you get baptized is because you are a follower of Jesus. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you want to tangibly demonstrate that you are now following him. And so you get baptized to say, I'm following after this Jesus in the same way. Obviously, it leaves us some other questions about exactly why did Jesus get baptized or what happened when Jesus gets baptized. Very interesting conversation we read in this account. Because when Jesus comes to John, John says, I can't baptize you. And Jesus says, no, you have to baptize me. And John basically says, why? And Jesus says, because it is right to do so. Why should you be baptized? Because God requires it of us. That's what Jesus is saying. And he's saying, God requires it of me. And so he definitely requires it of you. And so the second reason that Jesus gives for being baptized is that it is something that is a requirement. It is something that God requires of us. See, there in our tradition, we use two words to describe baptism. We talk of baptism as an ordinance and we talk of baptism as a sacrament. Don't let those two words scare you off. Ordinance means it's a command. Sacrament means that something happens in it. Now let's talk about the sacrament element of it. In baptism, we meet and we encounter the living God in a distinctive way. We are sealed in a special way by the Spirit of God and the work of God in his world. Now, let me explain a little bit by what I mean by that. There is no power in this water. There's nothing mystical about it. But what happens is when you come with faith in your heart and you experience and reenact the death and resurrection of Jesus in this water, then that faith with this water brought together brings about an encounter with the living God that seals us with his Spirit. That's what happens with Jesus. Do you see as Jesus comes up out of the water, he encounters the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God says, you are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. See, the encounter that we have with God affirms us as individuals who are loved by God and accepted by him. And through baptism, we are sealed with the Spirit of God in a special way. That's the kind of sacramental aspect of what we're doing tonight. But there is an obedience aspect. And that's what Jesus emphasizes here. The reason you get baptized is because it's something that is commanded. It's something that God requires. In the New Testament, you are never invited to be baptized. You're always commanded to be baptized. You'll look at your New Testaments and you'll see they never say, well, if you fancy, or, you know, it's a nice option, or here we invite you. No, they say, this is how you respond to the work of God in the world. You are baptized as a demonstration of the work of God in your life. This is how it occurs. And that's why Jesus says, it is right, necessary to fulfill all righteousness. It is a requirement. So we get baptized because we want to follow Jesus. We get baptized because it's a requirement. But there's a third reason why it's following Jesus and it's a requirement, which is that in baptism, we sum up what Christianity is all about. See, baptism demonstrates three things. It has a past dimension, it has a present dimension, and it has a future dimension. We use a lot of water, you might notice, if you're from another tradition. But the reason we use a lot of water is because we signify that when the person goes under the water and they come back up, we are saying the past is gone. We are declaring that whatever is in the past has now ended. In our church, part of our tradition is that we ask people, do you renounce the devil and all his works? Weird question, but it's a very ancient question. The reason we ask that question is because, and we'll then pray for the individual, is that we are praying that the power of the past and the bad choices that maybe people have made and the hold that that takes on them, we're praying that the power of those things will be broken in their lives and the past will be dealt with. You see, baptism affirms that because Jesus died on the cross, our past is removed. Corrie ten Boom once said, God takes in the cross of Jesus our sins and he buries them in the deepest ocean. And he puts up a sign that says, no fishing. That's what happens in baptism. We affirm our past is dealt with. We also affirm that we now have a present. You see, you come back up out of the water to signify the fact that your old life is now dead and your new life has now begun. And in that affirmation, as you come up out of the water, we invite people to say, Jesus is Lord. And the reason we encourage them to say, Jesus is Lord, because we're saying in the present, you are now living for a new boss. You're now affirming that Jesus is your Lord and you're living for him. One of the challenges, and it's something that we've seen demonstrated in the people that are getting baptized tonight, is that the affirmation of their Christian faith has brought about distinctive changes to their lifestyles. It's involved people doing things differently, changing their situations, making tangible changes. Why? Because they're affirming that we're no longer living for ourselves, but we are now living for Jesus, who is our Lord and Savior. The third element is a future element. There's a past element, there's a present element, and there's a future element. You see, we are buried and we come back up out of the water to symbolize new life, a new beginning. And we do that as a prophetic symbol of what lies ahead. See, everybody in this room will probably die, and a lot of people believe that death is the end. But in our faith in baptism, we affirm that death is not the end, that beyond death, there is the hope of new life, and that as we die, as Jesus died, so there will be resurrection. And so it is with that hope that we move into the future, that we have hope in Christ who secures our future. And so baptism symbolizes that future that we have. I remember I was saying somebody in their 70s, I baptized that person, and then I buried that person. And what was so positive in the funeral service was I was able to stand here and I was able to say, this man has stood here and he has affirmed through his baptism the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he's put his hope in that. And now as we face the reality of death, we affirm that same hope that he affirmed in his baptism. And so Jesus says, follow me in this. And Jesus says, this is what you are required to do. And the reason we're told these things is because in baptism, we summarize what Christianity is about. It's a declaration that the past is dealt with and you can have a brand new start. It's like delete, reset on your phones, brand new start. We affirm that we can have new life living for Jesus and being directed and guided by his will. And we affirm that we have a future hope as we look to that future and the promise that Jesus' death and resurrection makes for each one of us. Tonight, as each one of these individuals comes forward and is baptized, they're following Jesus. They're doing what God requires of them. But most of all, they're affirming the wonder of the Christian faith that speaks of forgiveness, that speaks of a new life, and speaks of a new hope and a new future. Let's pray. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the forgiveness that is promised in the cross. We thank you that our past can be forgiven because of your death. Lord, we thank you for the promise of new life. I thank you that we, no matter what our past consists of, we can now have a new start and live for you. Lord, and I thank you for the promise of a new future, of a new hope. Lord, and although we can't promise or know what is in the future, I thank you that we have the reassurance of the hope that is found in your death and resurrection. Lord, I pray that as each individual follows you and is obedient to you in the waters of baptism, that we will understand the true nature of our faith. I ask this in your name. Amen.